What is the connection between Europe's Muslims fasting in Ramadan and the brutal occupation of Palestine? Did you know that every Ramadan, Europe's Muslims are unknowingly bankrolling the suffering of their brothers and sisters in Palestine? Every year at Ramadan, Israel especially produces an early crop of dates in time for Ramadan, which with the collaboration of Muslim shops serving the Muslim community in this country, it sells to Muslims who, unaware, break their fasts with stolen dates, grown on land stolen from the Palestinians, making a mockery of their faith. Their act of worship in opening their fast is perverted into financing the suffering of their brothers and sisters in Palestine, who are starving this Ramadan, caged behind apartheid walls. How can this be, and what can we do about it? This is what we will explore in the next few minutes. In 2004, the International Court of Justice ruled that the Israeli settlements are illegal. They are built on stolen Palestinian land. Growing dates is one of the major agricultural activities carried out by nearly half of the illegal Israeli settlements located in the Jordan Valley. It's their most profitable crop and contributes significantly to their economic viability.
The Palestinians work on what was once Arab land. Now Israeli settlements, seen as illegal by most of the international community, export their produce to Western countries, including Britain. The Jordan Valley is one of the most fertile places in the Middle East. It's an extraordinary natural greenhouse where you can grow all kinds of crops. This valuable stretch of land has been under Israeli military occupation for 40 years. The most profitable crop is dates. Many of the dates in British supermarkets were harvested here by low-paid Palestinian workers. In charge are the Jewish settlers. They claim that the Bible gave them the right to this land.
I don't care what the rest of the world is talking about or what they think. I know that God gave it, this land to us.
Picking off the dates is hard work, and Palestinian laborers are used for this. An Israeli newspaper, Haaretz, did an expose on how the Palestinian workers are exploited. During the pruning season, the workers are dropped off on the palm trees by a hoisting crane at 5 o'clock in the morning, left perched on palms that soar to a height of 10 or even 12 meters, the height of a 3- or 4-story building, left there for up to 8 hours without a break and with no means to come down until the crane returns at the end of the day. The workers cling to the tree with one arm and work with the other to meet their quota. If they complain or fall behind their quota, they will lose their jobs and their families will starve. One Palestinian worker, when asked, "What do you think about up there on the tree?" he replied, "As soon as I climb up on the tree, the only thing I think about is how to get down from it. I don't think about anything other than how not to fall out of the tree and how to manage to complete the quota. I know that at any moment I can fall and die, or fall and become a cripple, break an arm or a leg. So we work with one hand and hold the tree with the other. It's terribly hard. Your body cramps up. The people are nervous, afraid. The whole time you're crouching on your feet. I'm most afraid when there's a strong wind. The tree shakes and you're scared to death of falling." When asked, "If you're hungry or have to go to the toilet, what do you do?" he replied, "I take food and water up with me. We have a bag and you tie it to the tree. You eat with one hand and with the other hold the tree. If you want to go to the toilet, you can't. You're not allowed to come down. So you go while you're up in the tree, only water, only urinating. It's the hardest thing, not just physically, but also personally, to relieve yourself. You think about it a lot, because it's hard culturally, hard in terms of politeness. Everyone is looking at you. What if you need to go for a long visit to the toilet? He replied, "It's impossible. You try and hold it in the whole day. You force yourself for hours." But the Israelis prefer using children in the date industry, as the kids are quick and light, can climb trees faster, work for less, and it's easier to cheat and humiliate them. The Israeli Civil Administration even issues Palestinian children with official work permits. When asked about the children, the workers admitted it was desperate poverty that forces families to remove their children from school and hand them over to the settlers to work for a pittance. Most of the Israeli date crop, up to 80%, is exported, mainly to Europe, where it has around 10% market share. In 2005, dates were Israel's leading fruit export. These facts make Israeli dates a good target for boycotting. If you oppose the illegal Israeli settlements, target their dates. Boycotting Israeli dates can really make a difference. The two major Israeli companies involved are Agrexco and Hadiklam. Agrexco, half owned by the Israeli government, handles 60 to 70% of all goods produced in the illegal settlements. Its dates have brand names Carmel, Jordan Plains, and Jordan Valley. Carmel Agrexco's press release last September, 1 week before the start of Ramadan, announced, "New harvest of Carmel medjool dates is already in Europe." It boasted that they had managed an early crop in order to be ready to meet the demand for dates from Europe's Muslim population in Ramadan. One Muslim group found that last Ramadan, 6 out of 8 Muslim grocery shops in Manchester were selling Israeli dates. Hadiklam sells 65% of all dates produced in Israel. Its dates have brand names King Solomon and Jordan River. They also supply Israeli dates to supermarkets and retail chains who market them under their own brand names. These include Marks and Spencer's, Sainsbury's, Tesco's, and Waitrose. Last year, peace activists from Brighton visited the Palestinian village of Fasail in the Jordan Valley.
I was in the Jordan Valley earlier this year, and I went to a village called Fasail, where the Palestinians in the village are slowly being transferred out of the area. They're being forced out of the area because the Israeli army won't let them build any new houses within the area. The only thing that Palestinians are able to do in that area is work for Carmel Agrexco. They don't want to, and when you speak to them, they tell you that the best thing that you can do to support them is to campaign against companies like this. But that's the only livelihood that's left open to them at the moment because of the apartheid system. And I spoke to two children under the age of 12 who were working for Carmel Agrexco on illegal settlements for under 30 shekels a day. So this company really is involved in a sordid, grubby business, and we hope the campaign grows against them.
An important point that comes out of the interview